All right, the part of the chapter I want to focus on is found in verse number 2, actually, where the Bible is recording here, John speaking to Gaius, his beloved son, not a physical son, not his actual child, but his son in the faith, someone that he had won to Christ. And he's rejoicing that he's heard all these great things about Gaius, that he's prospering spiritually, that he's following God's commandments, he's walking in the truth, he's helping other believers. He's a great guy, and John is praising him for this and encouraging him and building him up. But he says in verse 2 something interesting. He said, "Beloved, I wish above all things..." This is one friend talking to another. He says, "I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth." So he's basically saying, I know you're spiritually prospering. I know your soul is prospering. But he said, I would also love for you to be healthy. He said, I'd love for you to be prospering in other areas of your life. You know, I hope you're doing okay financially. I hope that you're healthy. I hope you're doing well. And I believe that God wants us to be healthy. Now, this is obviously John writing to Gaius, but it's the Word of God. It's the Bible. And God wants us to be healthy. And he's telling us this. I'm not a prosperity preacher. I'm not preaching a health and wealth gospel. Because many people who are doing all the right things are still afflicted with illness. Look at Job. Look at Paul, who had a thorn in his flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet him. God told him, "My grace is sufficient for thee." I'm not saying that if you follow God, you'll be wealthy. I'm not saying that you'll be healthy. But I'm saying that God wants you to be healthy. And God has given us many things in the Bible that could help us to be healthy if we would study God's Word and look at this. And so tonight, I'm preaching a sermon called this, God's Healthcare Plan. Now, you know, this is kind of a timely sermon because it's in the news. You know, the Obamacare and the big passage of that. And so, this is a little different than Obamacare tonight. Okay, this is God's healthcare plan. Now, it's not an HMO. It's not even a PPO. It's not even a health savings account. Okay, this is God's healthcare plan. This will do you better than all those things combined. Okay, and so let me give you God's healthcare plan. But before I get into God's healthcare plan tonight, I want to start by just going into something. Turn to Genesis chapter 9 because of a little incident that we had this morning where we had a woman in our service that decided to mouth off to me while I was preaching. Even though the Bible, you know, sorry to confuse you with the Bible, but the Bible says that women are to keep silent in the church, for it is not permitted unto them to speak. Now, call me crazy, but I still believe that. Amen? Amen? And so I don't like being rebuked in church by a woman with false teaching and false doctrine. And that's what was coming out of her mouth. And so basically, let me just clear that up because this ties in with God's healthcare plan. Because one of the most important things about your health is what you eat. Right? Very important to eat the right things. Okay? Because you are what you eat. All the cells in your body are made up of food that went into your mouth and is basically converted at the cellular level and at the molecular level into your body. And so therefore what we eat is important. So I want to deal a little bit with this thing of food because there are many that like this woman that decided to mouth off to me and heckle me while I'm preaching and telling me that, you know, pork is unacceptable for me to eat. Now, I tried to eat pork this afternoon. I tried to have pork for lunch, but Chipotle was closed for Easter. Therefore, I had to go next door to Ono's Hawaiian Barbecue. So I just did the next best thing. I ate shrimp, which is also not on the Jewish kosher approved list, okay? Because it says in Genesis 9:3, and let me just give you this doctrinally, in Genesis chapter 9, we're going back way before the Mosaic Law. This is Noah getting off the ark, okay? Before this, when they were in the Garden of Eden, they were told to eat the fruits, eat the herbs, and so forth. After that, they were told to eat meat. Look at Genesis 9:3. It says, "Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat for you. Even as the green herb have I given you all things." Now he reiterates. First he says, "Every moving thing." Then he says, "I have given you all things." So according to this scripture right here, is there any meat that God told Noah, don't eat that particular meat? He said, eat all meats. He said, it's not just the herbs. It's not a vegetarian diet that I have planned for you, Noah. No, I want you to eat meat as well, in addition to the green herbs, in addition to fruits, in addition to vegetables. Now, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years later. And keep in mind, in between Genesis 9:3 and the Mosaic Law, you've got Abraham, you've got Isaac, you've got Jacob, you've got the 12 patriarchs, you've got the children of Israel, and they were following this mandate from God and eating whatever, whether it be pigs, fish, cow, lamb, shrimp, whatever. They ate whatever. Okay? Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 9. Now, we were in Genesis 9. Look at Hebrews 9. You see, then came along the Mosaic Law, which is also known as the Old Covenant or the Old Testament. In the book of Hebrews, when you read about the Old Covenant in the Old Testament, that's referring to the books of Moses because of the fact that the Bible said that the first covenant was dedicated with blood. For when Moses had sprinkled both the book and all the people, he said to them, "This is the book of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you." Okay? And so the book of the law, the Mosaic law, came through Moses. Okay? He was the man of God that was used to deliver that. That's known as the Old Covenant, the Old Testament. Look at Hebrews 9, and really we could read the whole book of Hebrews if we wanted to go into it that in depth. But really we can just read a few key verses explaining this. It says in verse number 1 of chapter 9, it says, "Then verily the first covenant," or first testament is what that means, "had also ordinances of divine service and a worldly sanctuary. For there was a tabernacle made, the first wherein was the candlestick and the table and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary," and on and on. But jump down, if you would, to verse 8. It says, "The Holy Ghost, this signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was yet standing, which was a figure for the time then present." That's temporary. For the time then present is temporary. That tabernacle did not exist in the days of Noah. That tabernacle did not exist in the days of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Neither did many of the ordinances associated with that tabernacle, such as, keep reading, he says, "which stood only," look at verse number 10, "which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washings and cardinal ordinances imposed on them forever." No, imposed on them until the time of Reformation. He defines that in the next statement. "But Christ being come, an high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands," that is to say, not of this building, "neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." You see, many of those laws, including the laws about meats, drinks, divers washings, were imposed on them temporarily from the time of Moses until the time of Reformation, which is known as Jesus Christ coming to this earth and fulfilling the law, being the sacrifice, being the high priest. Now we don't have the tabernacle, we don't have the temple, our body is the temple, the church is the house of God, and so forth. Now look at 1 Timothy 4 with all that in mind. So we establish, number one, for the first thousands of years of history there, you know, all things, every creature. And it's clear. And you say, well, he didn't really mean all animals. Well, I wonder if the whosoever was really talking about everybody in John 3:16. Because that's what I based my salvation on. That whosoever believeth. So if he said every creature, then he reiterates that all things. I just believe he meant every creature and all things. You know? And so therefore, God commanded animals to be eaten that are not on the approved list of the Mosaic Law. But then the Mosaic Law came, which was a figure, which was a lot of symbolism and figurative, the table, the candlestick, the showbread, and they had these dietary meat restrictions. But then when Jesus Christ came, those were lifted again, according to Hebrews 9. That's why it says this, and God warns us, and this is a very pertinent message for me to be preaching. This doesn't really have a lot to do with the healthcare plan, but I'm just dealing with the heckler that I had this morning. You see, this is relevant because it says in verse 1 of 1 Timothy 4, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times." Are we living in the latter times? Yes. Okay. Therefore, this is very pertinent. "Some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits." That doesn't sound good. That sounds horrible. "And doctrines of devils." That sounds even worse. What are some of the earmarks? "Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer. We could turn to other places. I don't want to spend the whole night on this. We could turn to Acts chapter 10, where he says again, what God hath cleansed, not that call not thou common or unclean. Speaking, yes, metaphorically of people, but literally of animals that were not on that approved list of the Mosaic Law. That was the literal thing that he was saying. It had a spiritual meaning, also referring to the fact that people of other races should not be looked down upon. Because if you remember, they were told that they were not supposed to eat with the Gentiles. That wasn't God's law, that was man's law. And God corrected that and said, you know, he's made all nations of the earth of one blood and so forth. And so we see that God's plan for the New Testament is the same as it was before the Old Covenant, is that we can eat all things. And so, yes, I will eat carnitas on my burrito at Chipotle. Yes, I will eat ham and pork and shrimp and a catfish and whatever. Okay. And so let's get into the message tonight. God's health care plan. Are there similarities with Obama's plan? Are there differences with Obama's plan? That's what we're going to delve into tonight. Okay. God's health care plan. Because God does have a plan. See, God deals with every subject. I don't believe it when somebody says to me, well, the Bible doesn't really talk about that. I always just think to myself, well, you probably just don't know that part of the Bible yet. Because the Bible talks about everything. The Bible is about everything. Everything about life, you find the answers in the Bible. Okay? Now, first of all, God's health care plan. Okay? And again, this is kind of a different sermon. But God's health care plan, here's the difference between God's health care plan and the health care plan that you'll find in the United States of America today. Number one, the doctor believes in God. Amen. And he believes that he's dealing with a human being, not an animal. Okay? Because I am not a mammal. I am a human being created in the image of God. I am not an evolved ape or an orangutan or chimpanzee or monkey. I am a man. I'm a human. I'm not part of the animal kingdom. I am a man in the image of God. And therefore, if I go to see a doctor in my new plan, because you know, every healthcare plan has a list of doctors that are approved on that plan. You may have a certain doctor that you want to go to, but your insurance not cover that doctor. They say, here's the approved list. Well, let me give you God's list. Men who believe that they're created by God are the ones who know about health. Amen. And those who believe that they're an animal should become a veterinarian and not a doctor. Amen. Now, people think, oh, you know, what does that matter? What does that have to do with anything? Simple. Because I believe that God created my body the way it is for a reason. I believe that he placed the organs in the body, the members, according to his will. I believe that I was formed and fashioned inside my mother's womb, and therefore God knew what he was doing. I don't want things just randomly being removed or added to my body, because I just believe that God created it. Therefore, I believe God knows best. I don't think my DNA needs to be tampered with, or that I need to have unnecessary operations and all these different things. And so many doctors, they want to put you on drugs, you know, to make your body operate differently than it was designed to function. Okay. Now you say, well, there's a time for drugs. Okay, that's fine. And look, I'm not up here claiming to be a medical expert. I'm your insurance agent for God's health care plan. I'm not saying I'm the doctor. I don't claim to be a doctor. I don't claim to be a scientist. But what I do claim to know is that I'm not going to give you a dime for what a doctor says who thinks that I'm an animal. And I'm going to get my advice from somebody who believes in God and that believes they're created by God in the image of God. So that's the doctors that are on the approved list in God's health care plan. Is first of all, they believe in God. They believe that we're created by God. That's the first thing. In order to be on the approved list. But number two, turn if you would to Matthew chapter 9, and we'll see the next thing about the health care plan. Now you say, well, wait a minute, Pastor Anderson, I'm interested in the plan, okay? You know, and I don't know whether this is going to be acceptable with the government, this plan. Like, I don't know if this is going to get you out of paying the fines for not having insurance under Obamacare. Probably not. But you say, you know, Pastor Anderson, in spite of that, I'm still interested in the plan. Okay. Well, let me give you some other news about this plan, though. It only covers visits to the doctor when you're sick. Did you hear that? It only kind of, you say, what? You know, what if I just want to talk to the doctor? What if I just want to get a checkup? No. It only covers visits to the doctor when you're sick. Because, see, this is the manual, by the way, for God's healthcare plan. Go to Matthew chapter 9, and let me look at my brochure here, and I'll show you the fine print here. And my Bible is filled with fine print, and it's black and white with no pictures. But it says in verse number 12 of Matthew 9, but when Jesus heard that, he said to them, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Okay, so right there, you see, you see it in the brochure. I'm trying to be upfront with you. I'm not going to lie to you about what this plan covers. It doesn't cover visits to the doctor when you're well. It doesn't cover your well baby checkup. Okay? It covers visits when you're sick, because the only time you need the doctor, according to the Bible, is when you're sick. Amen. That's all. Amen. You see, I don't agree with that. You don't agree with Jesus. That's who you don't agree with. I don't care. I don't go to the doctor every day. I didn't write this book. I'm just the messenger. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And I'm not Jesus. Thank you for confusing me with Jesus. But the Bible is the one that said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. So it doesn't cover a lot of visits that you might be interested in taking. So you may want to think about a different plan. But if this plan is right for you, okay, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. Number three, it doesn't cover any vaccinations. Okay? I'm sorry. You know, I know. You said, you know, you could probably get them at some vaccine clinic or whatever. Okay? For free. Or pay at Walgreens. But they're not covered under this plan. Because God said not to touch anything that's unclean. He said, touch not the unclean. He said any kind of waste product, any kind of feces, should never be touched. Okay? Are you listening to me? You should basically, if you go to the restroom, it should be outside the camp. It should be dealt with in another way. It said not touch anything that's dirty or unclean. And so therefore, injecting germs into your bloodstream and aborted fetuses and feces and whatever else is in the, you know, heavy metals that are in these vaccines, that's not covered under this plan. So, you know, and again, do your own research on that. But the Bible says that, you know, I shouldn't be... And basically, it's funny, this vaccine mentality... Build up a tolerance by injecting yourself with aborted fetuses and feces and whatever, you know, germs, wherever this stuff comes from. You say, you're not very scientifically... Shut up. Did you hear me? Shut up. Shut up! And go do the research. The vaccines are cultured on the back of aborted fetuses. Put it in your pipe and smoke it. You don't know what you're talking about. It's not my fault. And so therefore, no vaccines are covered under this. So, you know, you don't need those well baby checkups anyway. And so, you know, not to have anything common or unclean, therefore, we don't want to have vaccines, okay? But there's more to it than this plan, because I just don't want you to go into this plan thinking that it covers stuff it doesn't cover. I try to be an honest salesman tonight. There are certain pre-existing conditions that will exclude you from this plan. And this is why I think it might not fit into the paradigm of Obamacare. Because the fact that part of Obamacare is that, you know, you're not excluded from any pre-existing conditions. Look at Romans 1, if you would. There's a pre-existing condition that will actually exclude you from Obamacare, and it's being a homosexual. I mean, not Obamacare. I'm sorry. Sorry, I'm going to be sued or something for maligning Obamacare. It's more right-wing lies about Obamacare. Anyway, Obamacare covers every filthy homosexual, okay, just to set the record straight. Okay, but God's health care plan doesn't. And please correct me. Do a signal if I accidentally mix up God's plan and Obama's plan throughout the message, because I've been known to do things like that. But Romans chapter 1 is why homosexuals, sodomites, perverts, queers, transvestites, faggots, whatever, okay, they're all excluded. And there's a reason why. Because of the fact that they're going to be too much of a drain on the system because of all the horrible health problems that come along with homosexuality. You know, we shouldn't have to pay for that. And so therefore, in God's health care plan, they're not included. Let me give you some scripture on this. It says in verse number 20, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to what? Uncleanness. Through the lusts of their own hearts. to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up unto vile affections. Vile means disgusting. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. You say, what in the world? I can't believe it, God. What are you talking? Men with men! Oh, I was afraid that's what you were talking about. Men with men working that which is unseemly and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. You know, I have Grandma's Bible here. Man, I love my grandma. She's 88 years old now, I believe, and she's a really sweet old lady. You would love her very much. Who's met my grandma? Put up your hand. One, two, and then, of course, my family. She's been here. It was a while back. She's been here about once, but my grandma loves the Bible, and you can see how much she reads every page. And a lot of times I like to read this Bible and see her notes that she writes. She writes down what she likes, and she underlines things in here. And in Romans chapter 1, my sweet grandma said this. It says, receiving men with men, you know, working all this uncleanness and vile things. And by the way, it's vile. It's disgusting. Yeah. It's filthy what they do. I'm not even going to go into it. I don't even want to think about it, but it's much more disgusting than you can imagine. It says this, receiving in themselves, notice, that's in their body, that recompense of their error, which was meat. Basically, they're getting some kind of a recompense. They're getting what's coming to them in their own body for what they do. You know what Grandma wrote next to that? AIDS. AIDS. Yeah, you know, Grandma's a smart lady. See, she actually grew up when there was some decency in this country and righteousness, and too bad the old-timers are passing off the scene, and this new generation is so brainwashed, they think homosexuality is normal. It's not normal. It's a perversion of nature. Amen. And it's funny because I went over to Grandma's house, right? And I said, Grandma, I said, don't leave me any money when you die. I said, I don't want 1 cent. I said, all I want is one thing. I said, just give me the one thing that I asked for. She said, unto the half of my kingdom, I'll give it to you. No, I'm just kidding. And she said, give me one thing. I said, you gave me this Bible, because this is her old Bible, but it's all worn out, it's falling apart. That's why she gave it to me. I said, give me your new Bible. When you pass on to be with the Lord, I said, give me your new Bible. I said, I want to have that one just like I have this one. She said, okay, you know. I said, let me see your new Bible. She handed it to me. I want to see if she wrote the same thing in the new one. Because she started out with a blank, fresh one. And I opened it up, and she had not written the same thing. I was like, oh, man. Instead of AIDS, she changes to HIV. But it's the same old grandma. You know, same old grandma. You know, it's funny. You know, we're all so radical and everything. It's these young preachers that are too radical. And yet, Grandma knows what the Bible says. Grandma's been reading it. Grandma's been saved for, you know, 60-some years and read this Bible and studies it and loves it and wins souls. Even in her 80s, she wins souls to Christ. Did you hear me? Those of you who think, oh, I'm too old, I'm retiring from the things of God, she won somebody to Christ when she was 87 years old. I'm thinking of a specific person. She probably won others. She went door-to-door soul winning at age 87. Thank God. I pray to God that when I'm 87, I'll still be serving God. And maybe God's healthcare plan can help me with that. Maybe this healthcare plan can help me still have the energy and the stamina. So here's some things that I need to stay away from. There's some things, some other exclusions, okay? First of all, there's pre-existing conditions like sodomy, homosexuality. He says you're rejected from the plan. That's what the word reprobate means. Rejected from the plan. Rejected coverage, okay? But not only that, there's some other activities that I can't really perform if I'm going to, you know, be a part of this plan. There's some things that can exclude me from the plan, okay? Look at Proverbs chapter number 5, if you would. Proverbs chapter number 5. And again, I'm not trying to lie to you tonight. I'm not trying to sell you something that you don't need, okay? And then, by the way, the plan's free. I forgot to tell you. It's free. It's totally free, okay? You can sign up for free. Now, you have to pay for each doctor visit, okay? But you sign up for the plan for free. And the plan is an overall plan to keep you healthy, okay? So if you're still interested, keep listening. Otherwise, just tune me out, and that's fine. But anyway, Proverbs chapter number 5, it says in verse number 8, and this is talking about the strange woman. This is talking about promiscuous women who dress in the attire of an harlot. Did you hear that? The attire of an harlot. God said that there are many women who dress like a harlot. That's a working woman. That's a woman that's for sale. That's a prostitute. He says these women that have the attire of a harlot, they're loose women, they're promiscuous. God calls it the strange woman. He says in verse 8, he's warning you, remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel. Let strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. Look at verse 11. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and thy body are consumed. So according to the Bible here, if I go in unto the strange woman, if I commit adultery or fornication, I'm married, so it would be adultery. You are unmarried, it's fornication. If you go in unto the strange woman and lie with her, the Bible says that at the end of the day, at the last, your flesh and your body will be consumed, and therefore this is going to exclude you from God's health care plan. Because this is destroying your body. It's destroying your flesh. Your body's going to be racked with disease because she's filled with disease. Did you hear me? She's filled with disease. You will contract that disease, and therefore God's health care plan excludes fornicating and sleeping around. And sleeping with women who sleep around. That's going to void the plan here. Look, if you would, at verse 20 of chapter 4. Go back to chapter 4, because we're going to talk about some of the positives. You know, I don't want to just dwell upon the fine print and the exclusions. Let me give you some of the things that the plan has to offer. Okay? Because you're saying to me, okay, these are all the reasons why I don't like the plan, maybe. If you're an advocate of Obamacare, this probably isn't like music to your ears right now, this sermon. But it's as true as the day is long. And so, let's look at Proverbs 4:20. The Bible says this, my son, attend to my words. And by the way, those are found in the Bible. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them. What's that say? And health to their flesh. So God's word can bring health to your flesh if you'd follow the advice found in God's word. That's what the Bible says. Look at verse number 7 of chapter 3. Go back to chapter 3, one chapter. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Because if you depart from evil, what's going to happen? It shall be health to thy navel. Your navel is what? Your belly button. Shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. So the Bible says here, that if I follow God's word, if I read God's word, if I live by God's word, if I depart from evil and keep God's commandments, that's going to make me healthier. That's a healthier lifestyle. You see, when God warns us about alcohol and he says, be sober, be sober, be sober, again and again, you say, well, I don't get drunk, I just drink a little bit. But are you sober? You see, on one end of the spectrum is drunkenness, where you're completely drunk. We talked to a young man today, out soul winning. He was drinking a Bud Light, but he wasn't. Was he drunk? No, absolutely not. We were giving him the gospel. He didn't get saved because some bossy woman came out and told him, yeah, we're visiting, you can't talk to him. You know, he's got to go. I said, you know, can I just finish what I'm saying? No, he's got to go, you know. And this was an adult man that we're talking to. You know, he's young, but he's an adult. But, you know, this bossy woman came and told us that we couldn't talk to him. But basically, he was not drunk at all. But he was drinking a beer. But was he sober? No. He wasn't totally sober either, because the first drink of alcohol, it goes into your bloodstream, it affects you. Even the law recognizes that with their law, that if you're underage, even just one drop of alcohol, you know, in your bloodstream, they say, you know, you have to have 0.0% is the acceptable level for an underage driver. Because if you drink, you're not sober. If you drink one beer, you may say, well, I'm not drunk, but you're not sober either. You're somewhere between drunkenness and sobriety. And God said, be sober, be sober, be sober, be sober. And you're not sober when you're smoking pot, by the way. You say, where does the Bible condemn marijuana? When it said, be sober. Amen. That's where it condemned marijuana. So no, you can't get a prescription for medical marijuana under God's health care plan, okay? Thank you. I needed to answer that question anyway. So, sobriety, sober, be sober, be sober. When God tells you be sober, he's not just telling you that because in Proverbs 23, he says, your heart will, your eyes will behold strange women, and your mouth will utter perverse things. It's not just that you're going to say things that are perverted when you drink. It's also bad for your health to drink. Have you ever seen photographs of someone's liver who abuses alcohol and drinks a lot of alcohol? It damages the liver. It destroys the liver. It destroys the brain. It's poison. It's called being intoxicated. Intoxicated. It's poisonous. It's bad for you. So if you follow that law, aren't you going to end up being healthier? If you follow that law that says not to drink, not to look upon it, when it's red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, for at the last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Look at King Belshazzar when he started drinking. What did he do? He started to blaspheme God. He got the vessels from the house of God and drank liquor in the vessels from God's house, and he was blowing off his mouth, and all of a sudden it gave him boldness to do that which was wrong. Alcohol gives a boldness to do wrong, to do things that you normally wouldn't do. And so God's health care plan will not give you a prescription for medical marijuana. God's health care plan will not, and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles 16. Your doctor under God's health care plan will not tell you to drink a glass of wine every night for your heart. Now, here's some great health advice. And my a friend of mine, I'm not going to say who it was, who used to be a drunk, who used to be an alcoholic. And thank God, he has quit drinking, okay? And, you know, I think he might have an occasional one once in a while, but the point is, he used to be a drunk, okay? And he used to be alcoholic and so forth. So this is something that he struggles with in his life, right? This is a sin that he's had a problem with and that he still struggles with. And yet, he was told by the doctor, your blood pressure or your heart is whatever. The doctor said, drink a glass of wine 3 times a week. You know, and you're telling this to a former alcoholic. You know, that's not good, telling him to drink. Well, under God's health care plan, that doctor would have been off the approved list. Because God does not condone drinking of alcohol or smoking of marijuana. And I put those two things in the same category, by the way. Yes, I do. And where did I have you turn? 2 Chronicles, let me turn to my brochure here, okay, about the health care plan. 2 Chronicles chapter 16 says this, because I want to give you another rule about the health care plan. Under God's health care plan, you know how you try to go to a specialist sometimes and they say, wait a minute, you need a referral from your general doctor? Have you ever heard something like that? Okay, have you ever heard something like this? Well, you know, before you can get this particular test done, it must be prescribed by a doctor. Before you can get physical therapy, you must be referred by a doctor. Well, here's the thing. You can't go straight to the specialist in many cases, can you? Even though you know the problems with your throat, you can't go straight to ear, nose, and throat. You got to go to the doctor, and he gives you that referral, and sometimes it can be a pain if you're a busy person, and so forth. Well, under God's plan, before you can go to see any doctor, there's an additional step. Like, before you even go to the general practitioner that's going to send you to the specialist, there's an additional step. So there is a little bit of red, you know, extra red tape and hoops that you have to go through. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 12 says this, and Asa in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet. Now, this would be something for a foot specialist. What is a foot specialist called? A podiatrist. Am I right about that? He says, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. Somebody stand up and read for me verse 13, that's a man, and tell me what happened next. Somebody stand up and read it for me, because I don't have my brochure turned there. So, what's it say in verse 13?
Asa slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign.
Okay, so he died. You know, he had this really bad disease in his feet. It got worse. He died. But did you notice the mistake that he made? He didn't even pray to God and ask God to help him with this condition. Now, you say, are you against going to the doctor? Absolutely not. Jesus clearly said in Matthew chapter 9, they that be sick do need a physician. There's a time for the doctor. He said, they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick do. But you see, the difference is, before you can go to the general practitioner, first you have to seek for God and ask God to help you. Now, isn't that a novel idea? Because did you know God created your body? Did you know that God can heal your body and that he healed people throughout the Bible? Now, he didn't heal everybody. There are many people who besought the Lord for healing. There was Job who had physical ailments that were not healed. But you know what? I would never go to the doctor or take a pill. You know, I don't even take pills anyway. But before I take a pill or go to the doctor or get a surgery done, the first thing I would do would be to pray and say, God, would you please help me with this situation? Will you please give me the wisdom to know which doctor to go to? Will you please step in here and heal my body because you are the creator, you're the sustainer of life? The first thing I would do is pray. And if you just, or one of these, it just pops a pill, or I wouldn't even spray throat numbing spray in my throat without praying first. I wouldn't even take an aspirin or an Advil or a Tylenol, period. But, you know, without praying first, if you're one that takes these kind of things. You know, I would pray first. I mean, think about what I'm saying. But it's, we don't want to seek God. We think that God can't help us. We just run to the doctor. Right? But really, we should seek God. I don't think that it was wrong for Asa to go to the doctor. Because of the fact that many people throughout the Bible, go to the doctor, and it's all fine. Hey, Luke was a physician. He was a great preacher, but he was also a physician. Luke, the man who wrote the book of Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Nothing wrong with the physician, but if you seek to the physician and not to the Lord, you're not right with God. And that's why God didn't bless him here, because he did not even seek after God at all. He didn't even pray to God one time and ask God to help him. He just went straight to the doctor. So there's a little bit of a referral process that needs to happen here. Now, there's another thing, and again, you know, many people won't like this. Some of the things that are not covered, more exclusions. Fertility treatments are totally excluded from this plan.
Amen.
They're totally excluded. You say, but Pastor Anderson, you don't understand. And you know what? It's funny. Women are willing to do anything to get pregnant sometimes, and they're willing to do anything not to be pregnant sometimes. Isn't it amazing the abortion? Isn't it amazing how many women say, I don't want to be pregnant? Let's see, 3,000 to 4,000 a day in the United States of America? Well, I'd say that's a lot. Are saying, I don't want to be pregnant. I don't want to be pregnant. And then how many birth control pills are sold? I mean, it would be astronomical to calculate. How many other different methods of birth control? And people don't want to have children. They don't want to have children. They don't want to have children. Even though God said children are a blessing, children are an heritage of the Lord, the fruit of the womb is His reward. And this is what people do. They'll get married, and they'll start taking a bunch of drugs to make them not get pregnant. And then after years of filling their body with these harmful hormones that cause cancer, that increase the risk of breast cancer, that increase the risk of other feminine cancers, and they take these pills that, by the way, don't just stop you from conceiving. Oh, no. They have the backup mechanism. That's why they're 99.9% effective. Did you hear that? Modern birth control pills are 99.9%, and usually when they're not effective, they're not being taken properly. Because if birth control pills are taken properly, they work 99.9% of the time. They're effective. It's been proven in trials. There's a reason why. Because the backup mechanism hardens the lining of the uterus so that when conception takes place, the baby cannot implant. And so if you're taking the combination pill, which is a combination of estrogen and progesterone, if you're taking that combination pill, still there's what's called breakthrough ovulation, a couple times a year perhaps, maybe once every 2 years, whatever the case is, that's where the backup mechanism kicks in. The egg is fertilized by the seed from the man, it's conceived, life begins at conception, that's a whole other sermon, but it's biblical. And then that baby that's developing, that blastocyst, as you want to call it, but it's actually a human being, dies at 7 to 14 days gestational when it tries to implant into the uterus and cannot. And therefore, birth control pills cause silent abortions. If you're on the mini pill, which is the progesterone-only pill, this could be happening every other month because it almost barely at all prevents ovulation. It just hardens the lining of the uterus. And by the way, you say, how do you know about this? Because I sat and read the fine print literally on a combination pill. I sat and literally read the fine print on a progesterone-only pill. Because I studied this, and I actually had a package of birth control pills, okay, from the pharmacy, and read the package insert, and it said that, and I'm quoting the package insert, it creates a hostile environment in the uterus that the developing, you know, conception there cannot implant. And so Christians today, did I have you turn anywhere or no? Let's turn to Genesis. Somebody help me out here. Turn to that chapter about Isaac praying for God to give his wife conception. Somebody help me out with that. It's slipping my mind right now. Somebody find that scripture for me. But basically, women that are Christian ladies, they're lied to and they're deceived and they basically get married and they say, oh, we don't want to have children right away. God forbid. You know, we need to get to know each other. Well, you should have at least 9 months to get to know each other before this baby comes and ruins your life, you know, or whatever you think is going to happen. Oh, we need to get to know each other. We're not ready for this. We're going to wait at least 2 years to start trying. This is what Christians say. This is what's taught in Hiles Anderson College. It's taught in other Bible colleges. I heard it with my own ears. He said, be sure and wait at least 2 years. Well, wait a minute now. I had 9 months, you know, to get to know my wife. Well, she didn't get pregnant for the first, you know, 4 months, but we got to know each other in that first 13 months before she got pregnant. And, you know, it's amazing. We still actually, you're not even going to believe this, we still spend time together. We still have a great relationship. Can you believe that? With 5 children? Isn't it unbelievable? We still love each other. We have a great marriage. You know, we go fun places together. We hang out together, all that. We talk on the phone every day. And you know, I don't know how we're doing it, but we're doing it. But somebody got that scripture for me. Genesis 25. You see, women will follow this lie of the devil that, you know, they need to not have children, they need to wait. Even though God said that it's a blessing and to be fruitful is great and you should have children. And then after 2 years of poisoning their uterus, you know, creating this hostile environment, that's the wording of the package insert, then all of a sudden, okay, God, I'm ready to have kids now. Okay, God, you know, Mr. ATM machine, Mr. Santa Claus, Mr. Burger King, have it your way. And by the way, this church is not Burger King Baptist Church. This is Wendy's Baptist Church. Old-fashioned, hot and juicy. Not have it your way from Burger King. That was for you, Garrett. Basically, let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. Yeah, we don't cut corners. There you go. Let me tell you something right now. You think God is just up there just waiting? Just let me know when you're ready. Keep drugging yourself, you know. Keep taking those pills, you know, couple of silent abortions under the radar. Hey, none of us is perfect, right? You know? And God's just up there, oh, you're ready to have kids now? Oh, okay, let me hop to it and cause you to get it. Because by the way, the Lord is the one who opens the womb. Right. Children are a gift from God. And so they come from God. And so God decides who gets pregnant and who doesn't. But they say, okay, God, I'm ready to have children now. And then they try for like a year, 2 years. After they've already filled their body with birth control that has not totally been metabolized, and then all of a sudden, okay, God, give me children, and then they can't have children, and then they have to go get some fertility treatment. IVF, in vitro fertilization, which murders more human life because they conceive like 30 blastocysts, and then some of them are dying and not develop, or, you know, arrested development. They had, you know, I thought that was like a rap group from the 80s, but, you know, arrested development, you know, and they say, it stopped developing. You know what arrested development means? It died. You killed it. Because you did it outside the womb that God created. You killed it. In a laboratory. And so then they do these treatments of IVF, and they make all these embryos, and it's like a business. You know, or do you want male or female? In Tempe, there's a fertility clinic that does this in Tempe. And here's what they said. We never, you know, people have the wrong idea. We never let people choose the gender when we do IVF. Unless there's a certain circumstance, like let's say they have 5 boys and they really want a girl. So they do choose the gender. They'll kill the one that's a male. And by the way, they'll kill the one with Down syndrome. Yep. Yes, they will. You think in vitro fertilization is going to inject a child into a woman that they know has Down syndrome when they got a bunch of other perfectly good embryos right next to it? And by the way, I love people with Down syndrome. I believe God created them and loves them, and they shouldn't be euthanized. They shouldn't be killed before they even have a chance to live. I've known many precious Down syndrome people that God used to get people saved. I talked to them. They were a blessing. Mike, did you know that my wife, is that your uncle? Zuzia? Help me out, Zuzia. Is that your uncle that has Down syndrome? Yes. Matthias? It's not Down syndrome. Okay, but is he your uncle? It's similar to Down syndrome. It's a similar ailment. He basically has the mind of what? A 6-year-old? Somewhere around there? He's like a child. And I've met him. He's a really nice guy. And, you know, thank God his mother loves him. And this is what his mother said. I'm glad I have Matthias. Because she said, all my other children grew up and left the home. And he stayed with me my whole life as my child. And I love him, and I can spend time with him and so forth. If that's what God gives you, a Down syndrome child, love that child and thank God for it. It's a blessing. You know, or if your child is born blind. Remember the man in John chapter 9? The disciples said to Jesus, why was this man born blind? Did he sin? Did his parents sin? He said, nope. Neither had this man sinned, neither had his parents. He was blind for the glory of God. It was God's plan that he be born blind. But these eugenicists, these Nazi eugenicists, and by the way, Hitler learned eugenics from the United States. Read the history book. In the early part of the 20th century, eugenics was happening in the United States, forced sterilizations, and they had this culture of saying, we only want the best and the brightest to reproduce. That's why the Birth Control Federation of America was started by Margaret Sanger, to stop minorities from reproducing because she was a racist. Margaret Sanger was a complete racist. Adolf Hitler admired her and even, I believe, wrote her a letter at one point praising her. You know, before he became the bad guy. But he was always the bad guy, even before everybody knew he was the bad guy. And he was writing a letter to eugenicist Margaret Sanger, who founded the Birth Control Federation of America. You might know it by its name today, Planned Parenthood, which I affectionately call Planned Barrenhood. Isn't it funny how Planned Parenthood is all about killing your child? What is that parenthood? But they say, okay, God, we're ready to have a child now, and then they go through all these perverted means to produce a child outside of God's plan of the physical relationship between the man and the wife becoming one flesh, God's gift of basically a child coming into this world that's given through the man and the woman, you know, lying with each other, to put it as the Bible puts it. They bypass that. And they go through the means of a doctor and so forth. It's not covered, folks. Look, it's going to be out of pocket for you if you're part of this healthcare plan because it is not covered. You see, this is God's plan for fertility treatment. Genesis chapter 25, did you say? Okay, let's look at this. Let's start with verse 19. These are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel the Syrian, of Padanaram, the sister to Laban the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife. You see, that's God's plan right there. Pray to God. He entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, and Rebekah, his wife, conceived. Because she prayed to God and God answered prayer. You say, well, it doesn't work that way for everybody. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. You missed the best part of the story. Let's go down in the chapter. And let's read verse number... Somebody help me out. 26. Sorry? 26 verse. This is interactive preaching.
25.
Not doing very good at this. Oh, okay. Verse 26. Sorry about that. It says, and after that came his brother out, and his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob, and Isaac was how old? 70 years old when she bare them. So how old was he when she bare them? 60. How old was he when he started praying for his wife to conceive? So how long did he pray for his wife to conceive? So when you prayed for 20 years, then tell me that you can't have children, and you need to go see the fertility doctor. But it's not 20 years, it's 2 years. It's a year and a half. It's 2.5 years. And nobody, they think God is going to answer them. They've been on birth control for 10 years. They've been on birth control for 5 years, 2 years, whatever. And then they expect God to just give them conception. And even the science will tell you that sometimes it will just take as long as you were on the birth control before you can ever get pregnant again after you get off the birth control. You know? And by the way, it is rightly called birth control because it's not conception control. It's birth control.
That's right.
It won't always stop the baby from being conceived, the birth control pills, but it'll stop it from being born. And so basically, a day after pill is the same chemicals in a birth control pill, just in a higher dose. just an extreme one-time dose instead of just taking them repeatedly, and so forth. So no fertility treatments are not covered. No birth control pills are not covered. Another thing that's not on the list is male gynecologists. You won't find any on the list of God's health care plan because of the fact that the Bible says it's a sin for my wife to be nude in front of any other man besides me. And so God covers all kinds of female attendants to births. Like in Genesis, you read about Rebecca, you read about Rachel, you read in Exodus chapter 1 about female medical specialists, midwives, that are attending the births of the children. That's all covered. That's all covered under God's plan. But male gynecologist perverts are not covered. Okay? Guys who look at nude women's bodies for a living are not covered. You say, you're crazy. No, you're crazy if you think that my wife is going to be examined by a man without her clothes on. And you're crazy if you think I'm going to strip down in front of a woman who's a nurse or a doctor or whatever. You see, all of the medical things that need to be done could be done with something called decency and dignity and propriety. There's no reason in the world not to cover up someone's nakedness while they're being worked on so that they're not seen by the opposite gender naked. God said not to look upon the nakedness of thy neighbor's wife unless you're a doctor. Wrong. It's a sin. I won't do it. You say, who taught you that? Well, I got married, right? My wife got pregnant. I looked in the Blue Cross. We had Blue Cross, Blue Shield, or whatever when we first got married through my job. I looked in the list of doctors. I saw Ernest. I saw Robert. Stephen. Brock.
That was one of them.
John. I said, there's no way. There's no way. And I said, honey, I was like, you need to see a female, you know, doctor, okay, or a female midwife or whatever. I said, this is not right. And you know, she agreed with me. She's like, well, yeah. She's like, I wouldn't be comfortable with that anyway.
But you don't understand, Pastor Harrison, men are the experts on childbirth. Men are the experts on female anatomy. Men are the experts on pregnancy.
What in the world are you talking about? I mean, don't tell me if you're a woman that you know about man stuff. I know about man stuff. I'm a man. You know about woman stuff. You're a woman. I don't pretend to be an expert on feminine hygiene. Okay? Because I'm not. I don't want to be. I'm a man. Women know about women things. So isn't this a crazy idea? Did you know that women are just as smart as men? And therefore they could learn the same things. And they could do the same things that women need. And you could have a female gynecologist, yet 80% of gynecologists are men. What kind of a man goes to college and he's sitting around in the cafeteria with his buddies and they say, so what's going to be your specialty? Where's your specialty? I'm thinking about gynecology. Good one, buddy. Yeah, I can see him high-fiving. He's a nice old man. He's been doing it for 60 years. He started out as a young man. Did you know that every old man used to be young? And one day he decided he could do the heart, he could do the brain, he could do the lungs, and he said, I'm doing the female anatomy. Now look, men are sinful. Did you hear me? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You say, Pastor Anderson, are you saying that you couldn't do that job and keep a pure mind? No, you're right. In fact, I think I'm immune to all pornography, in fact. So I can look at pornography, it doesn't affect me. I can watch X-rated videos and keep my mind as pure as the driven snow. Do you believe that?
No.
And do you believe that he can do it?
No.
Do you believe he can examine beautiful women in his office and say, oh, I don't think an unclean thought. I'm just used to it. Do you get used to pornography? Maybe that's how we could get over the pornography problems in America. Just expose everybody to pornography, just get them used to it, and then just get out of their system. No, because anybody knows that people who look at pornography, it gets worse. It's an addiction. And by the way, kids, don't go down that path. Don't even look at it. Don't even type in that word into the internet one time. Don't even pick up that magazine one time. Sin will take you further than you want to go. It'll cost you more than you were willing to pay, and it'll keep you longer than you wanted to stay. So stay away from sin, because you don't become immune to sin, and neither does the doctor, and therefore male gynecologists are not covered by the plan. Now there are some advisements that the plan gives. I'm running out of time here, but there are a lot of advisements that the plan gives you to help you stay out of the doctor. Now, here's one of my favorite little sayings that I like to say a lot. An apple a day keeps the doctor away.
That's true.
It is true. Thank you. Because let me tell you something. That's my goal, to keep him away. Did you hear me? I don't want to see him. Therefore, I like to eat apples because I want to keep the doctor away. Okay. Now, what you eat is one thing. God has a lot of advice about what to eat. And I'm just going to blow through this material because I want to get some other material. I want to hurry up in the sermon here. You see, in the Garden of Eden, God told them all the fruits and the herb-yielding seed and these vegetables, he said, I've given them to be meat for you. So he gave us fruits and vegetables to eat, did he not? He gave us meat to eat. He gave us the flesh of animals to eat and to give us other nutrition. Okay, other nutrients that we need from meat. That's why we have these teeth right here. You see, these evolved, were created by God, not so that I could eat tofu. See these big pieces, see these big fangs? And my fangs are more pronounced. I'm not exactly Joel Osteen when it comes to my mouth. These teeth, these are fangs, and they're for tearing into meat. Okay? Amen. Thank you. I was waiting for an amen. I was like, is this a Presbyterian church or what? But anyway, here's the thing. God gave us meat. Agreed? God gave us fruits and vegetables. That's right. Okay. God also tells us to eat bread. There's your bread group. Right? You got your grains, your bread. He talks about barley. He talks about wheat. He talks about all these different things. He gave us fats and oils. 14 mentions of butter in the Bible. They're all positive. Amen. I knew I'd get an amen from you on that one. 14 mentions of butter, they're all positive. Salt, positive mention. Water, mentioned hundreds of times, positive. Good for you, the best drink you could be drinking. Water should be your primary beverage. Drinking juice is a positive thing. Not a glass of wine, but a glass of grape juice will give you the same heart benefits without the alcohol that's poisoning your stomach and liver. Okay? So God gave us all these things, but did God give us partially hydrogenated soybean oil? Now that's one that I haven't seen. You see, all these chemically altered, all this genetically modified, where is high fructose corn syrup found in the Bible? I'm seeing fruits, I'm seeing vegetables, I'm seeing grain, I'm seeing meat, I'm seeing butter, I'm seeing milk. I'm not seeying high fructose corn syrup. I'm not seeing maltodextrin. I'm not seeing high fructose corn syrup, partially hydrogenated soybean oil, sodium benzoate. Does not appear in the scriptures if you're reading the King James Bible. all these different things. Okay? And by the way, if man made one kind of food, if one food is just totally man-made, like you look at the ingredients, there's a million ingredients and they all have these really long names. And then you look at another one and it's all things that God made. What do you think is better for food for us? The food that God created and gave us? Or food that's made in a laboratory by a guy with goggles on and a lab coat? Saying, I've given this to be meat for you. And it's spam. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't mean to criticize spam. I've given this to be meat for you, and it's nacho cheese Doritos. I've given this to be meat for you, and it's a ho-ho. It's a Twinkie. It's a Little Debbie snack. That will kill you. If you eat McDonald's and Twinkies and ho-hos and Little Debbies and orange soda, that's market brand orange soda, market brand strawberry soda, and you eat and drink this way, and then you wonder why your blood pressure's wrong. You wonder why you're having a heart attack. You wonder why you're sluggish and you have no energy. And by the way, I eat a very healthy diet, and every once in a while, I slip and I eat a little junk food, and I get sluggish and tired, and I don't have energy. And I can feel it. Because junk food will sap you of your energy. Because God never made it to be food for you. Now, there's nothing wrong with cooking food and mixing foods together, but just mix food together, not chemicals. Okay? So as long as everything on the ingredient list is something that God made, you're in good shape. But when it's all these chemical, and by the way, artificial flavors and also natural flavors are both made in a laboratory. And therefore, you got to watch out for these things. And so on this healthcare plan, there's a little brochure that's given with you when you sign up for the plan. When you sign up for God's healthcare plan, I'm going to supply you with this brochure right here. Okay? It says Holy Bible on the front. And this brochure will give you a lot of health advice. Because we want you to stay out of the doctor as much as possible. If you need the doctor, he's there for you. But in God's health care plan, trips to the doctor are discouraged when they're unnecessary. Okay? And so therefore, there's a lot of health advice in the brochure. One of those things, he gives you some advice on what to eat, what to drink, what not to eat, what not to drink. Okay? He also tells you not to eat too much sweets. He said, eat honey, but he said, if you eat too much, it's going to make you ill, you're going to vomit it up. That's found in Scripture. He says you should not eat for gluttony, you shouldn't eat for drunkenness, but you should eat for strength. So you shouldn't just overeat, gorge yourself. All these things are found in the Bible. All the answers in the Bible. But not only that, he gives you some other advice, and this might surprise you, but look at Lamentations chapter 4. Lamentations chapter 4, you see, one great thing about this brochure and about this healthcare plan, it goes a lot into really obstetrics, gynecology. It goes into also things that would pertain to the pediatrician, care of your infant, okay? Look at Lamentations chapter 4, verse 3. You say, Lamentations, you know, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Look at Lamentations 4, 3. Even the sea monsters. Okay? Look, folks, even the sea monsters. Draw out the breast. They give suck to their young ones. Now that's good science right there. Because you know the biggest animal that's on this earth? You know what it's called? Give me the exact biggest animal on this earth. Somebody help me out. The largest animal on this earth.
Blue whale.
Blue whales are the largest animals in the world. They're huge. They're massive. My wife, I've always wanted to see one in real life, and I've never seen one, but my wife saw them. What are they, hundreds of feet? I mean, they're huge. I saw a picture on the internet of a drawing of a whale. I love animals, okay? I love science. And a picture of a whale. It was a sperm whale. And then also a blue whale. And it showed a man in relation to the whale. They're huge, unbelievable size. You can't even imagine how big they are. Because the ones at the zoo, those are just the ones that they can contain. Or at SeaWorld. Most species of whale, the really large ones, that is, they can't contain the sperm whale and the blue whale. They're too big. Okay? They give suck to their young ones. They are classified as mammals. I believe they're a fish. But, you know, you can call them a mammal because they do have mammary glands. And they do give suck to their young. They do give milk. There is such thing as whale's milk. Now, I've never tried it, but, you know, I don't know if it's bottled and sold, but it's there. It's baby whales drink it. Okay? Now it says in verse number 3, even the sea monsters draw out the breast. This is referring to giant whales. Okay? Monstrous is a, you know, it can refer to size. Okay? And he says, they give suck to their young ones. The daughter of my people is become cruel, like the ostriches in the wilderness. Let's do a little cross-reference. Turn to Job 39 about the ostrich. God goes into great detail in Job 39 about the ostrich. And by the way, did you know that ostriches are one of my favorite animals too? I love ostriches. Have you ever seen where they have the eyelids that go sideways? Who knows what I'm talking about? One person? It's true. Two people? Thank you. One, we've got a first, second, all in favor say aye. Basically, ostriches are fascinating creatures. I really like ostriches. When I go to the zoo, some of the things I like the camels, I like the ostriches, I love whales. I don't know why that matters to you, but I just like them. But anyway, it says in verse 13, and it's a fascinating creature, but look what God says about the ostrich. Gavest thou the goodly wings unto the peacocks, or wings and feathers unto the ostrich, Job 39:14, which leaveth her eggs in the earth, and warmeth them in the dust, and forgetteth that the foot may crush them, or that the wild beast may break them. She is hardened against her young ones, as though they were not hers. Her labor is in vain without fear. So according to the Bible, ostriches are not a smart creature. God created them without wisdom. He deprived them of wisdom. They are used in the natural world to give us an illustration of how we should not be as parents. That's what he says. He says they're hardened against their young ones. They don't have the love and tender affection that a person should have toward their young one. Therefore, they bury it in the dirt, and then they forget about it, and they don't even think about the fact that some other animal could trample it, it could get hurt, they don't protect it, they don't care. They just bury it and forget about it, and they do a bunch of labor that doesn't even matter. Their labor is in vain, it says. They're hardened like it's not even their kid. They forget it's even their kid. When it's born, they don't even know it's their kid. You know, they're animals that eat their own young. Now remember what he said back in Lamentations. Even the sea monsters draw out the breast. They give suck to their young ones. The daughter of my people has become cruel like the ostriches in the wilderness. Talking about women who become, and God's people who become like an ostrich. They don't care about their kid. They won't draw out the breast and feed their kid. Now you say, oh, I can't believe you say that on the pulpit. It's God's word, folks, and I'm going to preach the Bible. Nothing I preach is anywhere near what's coming across your television. You know, which you ought to throw out, by the way. Amen. But the Bible says here that, you know, they draw out the breast and lovingly feed their child. Isn't that an amazing creation of God? That God created women the ability to feed their children from their own body? And by the way, it's impossible to duplicate breast milk. Do you think the formula on the shelf is the same as breast milk? They can't recreate it. They can't do it. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, if you would. 1 Peter chapter 2 in the New Testament. So basically, this healthcare plan encourages breastfeeding. It says, hey ladies, you know, draw out the breast and give suck to your young one. Lovingly feed your child. Don't just turn it over to someone else to take care of. Turn it over to someone else to feed while you go to work and labor in vain. And you drop your kid off and don't know who's going to trample it or abuse it or whatever. You should lovingly care for your own child. Because every woman knows that if she breastfeeds her child, that's not something that happens twice a day. I mean, when my wife is breastfeeding a young child, that's something that's happening every hour, every 2 hours. You know, it's something that, and you know, she feeds on demand, and they eat, they don't sleep through the night. They eat all night. So in order to breastfeed a child, they have to be with the child. And this is God's way of creating a bond also between the mother and child, where they lovingly can breastfeed that child. Okay? And that's God's creation. It's a marvelous creation. Man has a cheap substitute for it. Infamil. Isomil. And all, you know, whatever. Mill this, mill that. Okay? All these chemicals, all this synthetic thing. And many of these companies will even try to pitch it as better than breast milk. Look what 1 Peter, I need to turn there myself in the brochure. Does everybody have your brochure handy? For the healthcare plan. Let me turn to this real quick. Now, I haven't seen the Obama plan. Is it available? I mean, can I look at the brochure on that thing? I haven't read the bill. I don't think most of the senators or congressmen did. I wonder if Dennis Kucinich read the bill. Or did he just get taken up in an airplane? Remember that airplane ride, the magic airplane? I think I should go for a ride in Obama's magic airplane, by the way. Did you know that Obama has a magic airplane? You walk in believing one thing, and you walk out believing something totally different. Did you know that? I think it would do wonders for me, because I don't believe anything that Obama believes. But if I went on that magic airplane, I might get off like Dennis Kucinich and start to believe. You know, Dennis Kucinich, the congressman who said no to hell, he took a hard line against the Obamacare. He went for a little plane ride with Obama. He got off the plane and said, I'm voting yes on Obamacare. What'd they do to him up there? They torture him? You know, I'm sorry, they just used enhanced interrogation techniques on him. Or what did they do to him? How much did they offer him? What did they say, like, all these kingdoms of the world and all their glory will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me? Oh, that was Satan tempting Jesus, sorry. And Dennis Kucinich is not Jesus anyway, not even close. But the Bible, you know, I'm not trying to be political here. I'm trying to be biblical. Okay. But Obama does have a magic airplane where people go in believing one thing and come out believing something else. That's a fact, okay? And so, look what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse. And this isn't supposed to be funny, okay? This is a serious sermon. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, it says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Newborn babes desire the milk, don't they? You know, and they scream and cry for that milk, and they want to be fed by their mother. They desire the sincere milk, the pure. That's what sincere means, pure. Created by God. Because, you know, it's not man-made. It's a natural milk that's created by the body, which is created by God. Okay, and it can't be duplicated. Now, man has his Isomil and his Enfamil and all these other mills. Okay, it's just like the Word of God. We're to desire the sincere milk of the Word. And isn't there a counterfeit Bible? The man-made Word of God, the NIV, the NAS, the RSV, all these different versions. You know, no, this is the sincere milk, God-made versus man-made. And that's why my children are breastfed, okay? And therefore, the Bible says, what is there something wrong with what I'm saying? I don't care if there is or not. It's the truth. My children are breastfed, okay? And the thing is, that's the best thing for them because it's the one that God made. And God speaks of it in the Word of God. And so the plan, God's healthcare plan, encourages and promotes breastfeeding. Any questions about the plan? You know, where do I sign? You know what I mean? I like it. I like it because it gives me the freedom to just read the Bible, decide how I want to live, decide my lifestyle. And you know, it doesn't make other people pay for my wickedness. You see, this is what I like about God's healthcare plan. I don't have to pay for somebody else to be a drunk and ruin their body and then Amen. I have to pay for it.
Amen.
I don't have to pay for somebody to kill their child and call it an abortion. I don't have to pay for somebody to pump themselves full of drugs so that a woman can grow a mustache and have a horrible marriage and not want to be around her husband because she's so pumped with hormones from birth control pills that she's manly. I'm glad that I don't have to pay for somebody to kill their child, to pervert nature, to have IVF because now all of a sudden they want a child. I literally know people who pump themselves full of birth control. I'm thinking of a specific person in mind right now. Pump themselves full of birth control for years, then tried to have a baby for 2 years, gave up on God, went to IVF, produced children in a laboratory, and then after they were done producing children in a laboratory, had a child naturally. They should have just waited on God, huh?
Yeah.
And then after they had the child naturally, they went back on birth control to make sure they don't have any more. Did you get that? Birth control pills for years. Give God a shot for a little less than 2 years. Pervert nature through IVF. Whoops! God answered our prayer late after we already had too many. And then pump full of drugs again. This is something that I don't want to pay for. Amen. And I don't want to pay for you to go out and get in a fight at a bar and stab somebody or get stabbed. I don't want to pay for you. Pay your own way. Pay it yourself. And I'll pay for myself. And when you want to fill yourself with Twinkies and Ho-Hos and Faygo sodas and oatmeal cream pies from Little Debbie. Little Debbie's wicked. I don't know who she is. She's wicked as hell. She puts out food that's not food, that's poison. McDonald's is putting out a lot of poison today. And if you eat it, and you eat the breakfast and lunch and dinner there for a month, you'll probably die. If you just eat it. And I don't want to pay for you when you weigh 500 pounds to get your stomach stapled. Because you can't stop putting food in your mouth. I don't want to pay for you when you weigh 400 pounds and you have high blood pressure and heart attacks and all these different problems. You say, oh, but the seniors. Seniors need to get off the drugs.
Amen.
You know what I mean? And there's so many seniors that are high on drugs today. And I'm not saying there's never a legitimate medication, but a lot of these medications are mind-altering. They're not necessary. And they're just, I know a man who was told, change your diet or take this drug. He said, I'll take the drug. And in fact, can you give me directions to Wiener Schnitzel? You know, as I leave the doctor's office. I don't want to pay for it. I'm going to pay my own way. I'm going to bear my own burden. And again, you say you don't have compassion. In fact, I'd love to help people. In fact, I am a compassionate person. I'm a charitable person. But guess what? You're not going to believe this. I like to choose who I want to help. And I like to do it out of love. Did you hear me? I like to love people. And say, hey, I love you. Let me help you buy groceries. Let me help you with your medical need. Let me help you with your housing need. And I have helped many people. I've taken people to the grocery. And I'm not, up here to toot my own horn. I'm not going to go into any kind of detail about who I've helped. You know, and I'm not going to say how much I've helped or how little I've helped. You've helped people too, haven't you? You're a Christian. You've helped people. You've looked out for others. You've looked out for your neighbor. You've bossed up. I'm not trying to say how many things, but I'm not. You know, I'm just a decent person. I've helped people. I've done stuff for people. I don't want to go into it. You know, and you could tell me after service of the people you've helped, you know, there's no point going into it. You know, it's done for God. But look, I love those people. I did it because I wanted to. But when somebody puts a gun to my head and says, help these people or die, pay for abortion, pay for sex change, pay for drunkenness, pay for stupidity, pay for junk food consumption, pay for people who make dumb decisions and have to live with the consequences of it, pay for the dope head, pay for the drug user, you know, that's not charity, that's extortion. It's not charity, it's extortion to force me to give money. And it's stealing, it's extortion, it's theft, it's tyranny, it's oppression, it's wicked, it's wrong, I'm against it. From the top of my head to the bottom of my feet, it's extortion. It's wrong. I won't even eat lunch with somebody who's called a brother who's an extortioner, because that's what the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Extortion's wrong. Stealing is wrong. I don't want to be forced to pay for something that I didn't incur. And by the way, I brought these children into the world that you see before you, these fair-headed children across the back row. I brought them into this world. I will pay for them. But I will not pay for the children that you bring into this world. And by the way, when you get married, bring children into this world. That's part of the plan. Okay? And by, you know, and I'm not going to explain to you the birds and the bees. You know what I mean? Because you should be able to figure it out. It's called instinct. It's, you know, it's called the Bible. You'll figure it out. And so it doesn't, there's a lot of things this plan doesn't include. We could go on all night, but let me just tell you something real quick. Because I can't go on all night in this sermon. Just be sure you read the brochure. Okay? Because there's a lot of stuff I didn't cover in the brochure. And you might have been coming to this church for the last 4 years, and I still haven't covered everything in the brochure. So you're going to need to take the brochure. Be sure you get all the fine print, okay? All the subsections. And, you know, there's no legalese. There's no legal jargon. As long as you're saved, as long as the Holy Spirit's inside of you, you won't have any trouble understanding. There's not technical terms that you won't be able to understand, okay? Study the plan. Study God's health care plan. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word, dear God, and for your health care plan that you provided with us. I thank God that I have health coverage, dear God. Now, I know I don't have insurance. I've been without insurance for many years now. But thank God I have something better, God's health care plan. It's not a PPO. It's the KJV. It's not HMO. It's AV1611. And so I have God's word as my health care plan. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you for the wisdom that comes with your word. I thank you for giving me health. And I want to pray tonight for every member of my church, dear God. Just as John prayed for Gaius, I want to pray that they would be in health. I hope that everyone's healthy. Maybe something in the sermon tonight will make them more healthy, like maybe cutting out some of the man-made synthetic foods, maybe cutting out alcohol or drugs or cigarettes, or maybe abstaining from fornication. All these different things that we mentioned, dear God, please just help us to be healthy. Help us to pray. That'll make us more healthy. Pray. Read your word. And do the right things, dear God. We love you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray.